Psalm chapter 73, verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Verse 26. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, the only true love that exists, the only true life that exists, and the only one who alone is wise, who exists. And thank you, Lord, for being all in our lives. And thank you, Lord, for being the Almighty of our life. And thank you, Lord, for being the King of our hearts. And thank you, Lord, for being the Master of our life. And thank you, Lord, for being the leader of our journey in this journey of grace. And thank you, Lord, for being so real to all of us, so true to all of us. And thank you, Lord, for being so truthful, faithful, merciful to all of us. And Lord, we are all hopeful just because of who you are. And Lord, we love you not because of Calvary, but Lord, we love you because of who you are. For God loved us first, and Lord, you call all of us by name. And thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, for the family of God. And thank you, Lord, for every brother in Christ, every sister in Christ, and every loving soul whom we meet in our life, and every good person that you have blessed us with. We receive all of it, O Lord, as the favor of the Lord in our lives. And Lord, we pray, may you bless us today to not to read the scripture, not to listen to the word, but Lord, I pray that you come and change us, O Lord. Amen. Without change, what is the purpose of having a fellowship? Because, O Lord, you fellowship with us that we all may be changed. Amen. And Lord, I pray and invite thy presence to come and change us, a glorious change, a change that pleases your spirit, a change that is celebrated in the heaven, a change that perfects us, O Lord, towards that redemption. Come, O Lord, and bless us that we all may manifest the fruit of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen and amen. Sister Lucy, can you hear me? Shalom, and God bless you all, dear brethren. We thank the Lord for assembling all of us again to be alive in Christ every single day. Amen. So by the grace of God, in His everlasting mercies and in His guidance, we shall begin a new series as the Lord led my heart early this morning. Until yesterday, I did not have the leading to start what is the series the Lord wants us to begin. I thank the Lord for touching me today morning. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. Amen. We always have to wait for the Lord's leading until the very last second of that particular moment, because He is faithful. He did not prefer premeditation. He did not prefer presumption, but He prefers the absolute leading of His Spirit that comes in His own time. I thank the Lord. As children of God, in our earthly life, we were also children to our parents, because we were all born of a woman. Amen. And when we were a child, before we learned how to speak, how to eat, how to walk, whoever saw you, your parents, your loved ones, your relatives, your friends, when you were a small child, many people might have kissed you.
on your forehead, on your cheek, to express their love, especially your parents and your grandparents. As we grow, we understand what is that holy, affectionate kiss. It means not the lustful one. What is the whole world is, you know, going down the drain about? But an outpouring of love which could not be expressed by words. So the two lips joins together as one, and a mother kissed the child on the forehead to celebrate the life. The child gives the title to the woman as a mother. Or a grandparent so rejoicing to see a child is born and celebrate the life. Or a groom kissed the bride in the hand to say that the flesh of my flesh, the bone of my bone, I will live and die for you. And likewise, the bride says to the groom. Or when you are on the deathbed, people also come and give you a kiss, like a kiss of farewell. Or when you are sinking down in a pool, in a river, in an ocean, those who knows how to swim to save you, they will sink down and give you a kiss of life, which is totally different than what I was telling so far. A kiss of life to breathe air into your lungs, to stay alive until you come to the surface of the water to start inhaling again. So there are so many types of kisses. Good ones. The ones that make a difference. The one that's a result of outpouring. Amen. So may the Lord guide us as we start the journey with this divine understanding from Songs of Solomon, chapter 1. Songs of Solomon, chapter 1. Verse 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let's stop there. The song, one song, amen? Of songs, multiple songs. Of, which is Solomon's, that belongs to Solomon. Now, the word Solomon represents what? Wisdom. A child that was born after God showed mercy to Bathsheba and David. After the first child that was dead after 7 days of sickness, and Solomon was born. And the very first verse of Book of Solomon, Songs of Solomon, says, the song, singular, of songs, multiple, but all that belongs to, which is belongs to Solomon's. So let us bring it to our life spiritually first. The word of God, and the words, the part of the words, everything that was uttered in God's wisdom, that is, types Solomon, who is also earthly wisdom, who is also a king. So the Song of Songs, and Jesus Christ is called the Song of Salvation to all of us. Like how David played an instrument, the distressing spirit, the weariness of Saul left him. As if you resist the devil and the devil flee. Because Saul could not resist by himself, he needed the Song of Salvation, which types the hand of David that plays the instrument to play the Song of Salvation. Now let us bring it to our life. The very first verse talks about there is only one song, but that song consists of multiple songs. As in, I carry the Bible, one single word, but it has 66 books, 39 Old Testament and 27 New Testament, altogether 66, and every book has multiple chapters, multiple verses, multiple sermons, multiple songs, fall, rise, laughter and joy, tears, sunshine. A lot of seasons are inside this single scripture. But the song, the anointed, who anointed his children, who are also anointeds of God. God's anointing is upon his children. And he gave the Holy Ghost to all of us as a promise of God, as a fruit of the crucifixion and resurrection. So now, the Song of Songs, which is of Solomon's. The children of God, which is of God. The Word of God. We are all created by the Word. Now look at the verse 2, which is the foundation of the whole sermon series. Verse 2. Let him kiss me. Let's take step by step. Let him kiss me. So do I have to allow him to kiss me? What do you mean by let him kiss me? Let him come. Let that be light. Let that be silence. What is let? Let means allow. Permit. Amen? If I don't let, he won't kiss me. He won't kiss you. Let him kiss me. Then who I am speaking to? If a mother comes to kiss a child and the child says, let her kiss me, who is going to stop? The child cannot say that because the child won't say that. If the same mother comes to kiss the daughter or son when the son or daughter is grown up, they have some misunderstanding, fight. And that daughter can say, don't you dare to kiss me. That son can say, don't you dare to come near to me. Can say, right? If the father and mother are not in good terms with the child, can say that. Now, who is in between? You. Let him kiss me. The test the Lord has allowed us to go through because of the power of the free will in your life. Let him kiss me. Now, let's keep it in your mind because it does not say he will kiss me. It says let him kiss me. Willingness, cheerful heart, perfect submission, not dutiful obedience, perfect submission in the perfect love, the perfect fondness. The bondness of perfection in agape, let him kiss me. Open your mouth wide and let him fill you. Before we receive, we must prepare to receive him. And with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Now, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. In the beginning, there was Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was spoken, we are all created. And when the Word was spoken, his lips might have moved. I'm talking about visible presence of God Almighty. But God was manifest in flesh, justified in spirit, that is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Now, when the Lord kissed me with the lips of his mouth, what is going to happen to me? Then what does the kiss represent? Because kiss is not a language. It's just an expression of love, which is common for the whole earth, irrespective of your language, culture, your knowledge, your wisdom, doesn't mean anything. It's just an act. An elderly person is going to give farewell to his journey on this earth. For example, let's say Moses or Aaron. And before they go, they give a kiss to a grandchild, for instance. That purity, it should not leave your mind as we begin this series. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine. Verse 2, because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee, wise virgins. Let's just keep it as wise virgins, who trim the lamp, who wait for the Lord's coming, sincerely, diligently, truthfully, and desperately waiting for his coming. Now, may the Lord guide us as we start the series. Let's turn your scripture to Psalm chapter 85. Let's go to his father, Solomon's father. Psalm chapter 85. Verse 6. Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Shew us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Mercy, salvation, revival in two verses. Verse 8 says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, that is Yahweh, thy Elohim. For he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not again to folly. Let them not turn again to folly. And Songs of Solomon says, let him kiss me. And Book of Psalms says, let them not turn again to folly. Because you can, let him not kiss you. He can kiss you, but you can let him not kiss you by turning again to folly. Now, how the Lord revives us when I am dying in my sin, sinking deep down. He swims deeper to the place where I am. He kissed me with the kisses of his mouth. And he breathed his air into my lungs. That is, spiritually, Adam was made as a living soul. And the Lord, you know, gave his breath of life. He became alive. Now, in our life, when we were all baptized, that was the only time we remember I died to my sin and I came back alive. Done. Case closed. If the Lord choose not to kiss me in his holy kiss, there must be a distance between you and him. Because the first and foremost requirement of the glory of God to kiss you is nearness. Amen? How near you are you? In other words, are you the Ittai who was close to David, whom David could kiss him because he was very near? Not far away. Nearness of Yah, that is Ittai. In order for a mother to kiss the child should be in the hands of the mother and bring the child next to her lips and kiss her on the forehead to express her love, because she could not speak. She couldn't believe that life came forth from her womb. And she is overwhelmed by witnessing God's miraculous creation. Or a sibling, a brother and sister, a brother and brother, a sister and sister, who are good friends to one another, who carry one another's burden in Christ, in the blood of Jesus Christ. They express their love. Now, nearness. The Book of Psalms, chapter 85, it unfolds how the two hands clap and there's a sound. Amen? I clap and there's a sound. Before a loud one kiss another loud one, the upper lip and the lower lip must join together. Because, you know, you are going to express your love in one. Now look at the next verse. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, the glory may dwell in our land. So they that fear him may hold on to his glory, and they may preserve the whole land from destruction. That was a bargaining discussion between God and Abraham. It was not specific to Sodom and Gomorrah, because Abraham was typing the entire earth as Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was asking the Lord, if there are 10 righteous, would you show mercy on that land? And God said, yes, deal. But on that day, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. But today, Sodom and Gomorrah is still expanding the territory, and the Lord is delaying, because in his grace, there are 10 at least that represent the fullness of God is dwelling in someone. The vessels of God standing in the gap, because that is what Jesus Christ told them to do so. You will do greater works than me, which is, he is the fullness of God. You do my work in the fullness of God, and the Lord will wait to complete the grace. Amen. Now, salvation will come to the land when there are people who fear God. As simple as that. Look at the next verse. Mercy and truth are met together. That is fellowship. Two people meeting together. They are meeting. It means my right hand, left hand shake together. For example, mercy and truth met together. And righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Righteousness We all know there is only one who is righteous, and he is in heaven. Amen? Because God is righteous and he is perfect. He is in heaven. Let's just draw the line there. But God so loved the world, he gave his only son. And let's come down. And he is the truth. Amen? He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. And he gave his truth to his children. When the Lord sowed the seed in your heart, You are nothing but the tree of righteousness, and you grow on earth. But you are planted on earth, as it is in heaven, as it is on earth. And when this truth, that we are all planted here on earth, this is our earthly journey, but someone should be the king of both, the king of heaven and the king of earth. And this manifestation, righteousness and truth, they kissed each other. Thy husbandman is thy creator, and thy creator is the word of God, and the word of God is your groom, and the groom will kiss the wife. The husband will kiss the wife. The groom will kiss the bride, which is to accept her, that she came near to him. Now these two kissed each other. How come righteousness can kiss truth? I thought these two cannot be separated. Can you separate truth from God? Can you separate righteousness from God? But now answer me, what is truth if there is no falsehood? If there is no falsehood, there is no such word called truth. It is what it is. Am I right? If there is no darkness, there is no need of a word called light, because it is what it is. You don't have to distinguish it. If there is no death, then how can you distinguish life? You exist. This is the default existence of God. Who is, I am who I am. Because there was nothing to compare with him. There was none to challenge him. And there is no way he can separate himself. He is who he is. He exists. That's it. There is no other definition to him. He exists. He who exists. I am. But when falsehood enters, serpentine nature enters, there is death. The wage of sin is death. And truth is gone. That is, the everlasting truth the Lord has given to all of us is gone. And righteousness and truth kissed each other. But there was a meeting first. What was the meeting? Mercy. This kiss, this is met, correct? Met each other. Do we truly understand when the Lord says that there are two or more gathered in my name? What exactly the Lord is telling? Mercy and truth are met each other, righteousness and peace. Right? Now, look at this particular section. When God showed mercy to all of us, did he simply show mercy by forgiving your sin or by giving you the truth? Imagine we are all the accused standing in the court. And the judge says, okay, you are a thief, you are a murderer. You are supposed to be judged to death, but I forgive you. This is mercy. Amen? Now we all come out of the courtroom and we celebrate. We received mercy. Then you go home. Now ask yourself, is it sufficient for you, receiving mercy from God? What is the purpose of God showing you mercy? The purpose is that you receive mercy to receive truth. And you receive truth to be righteous like him. Amen? And without truth, there is no peace. Now, in all of this, the reason why God is called the God of peace, remember this. Is there anyone who can wage war against God? Anyone? Is there anyone who can wage war against God? No one. Because he's God of peace. That is who he is. He is God of peace. But when righteousness and peace kissed each other, when mercy and truth met each other, all of us who are, we are all children of falsehood, children of sin, children of darkness, when we were, and we become children of truth. Amen? We should never separate the word truth from mercy. Oh, brother, we would never do that. We do that. We do that without our knowledge. Lord, show me mercy. But his mercy without truth, his mercy without peace, his mercy without his righteousness profiteth Nothing. It may let us to do the same thing we have been doing again and again and again and again until we die, and we might be receiving mercy even from the enemy, and we may mistake it for God's mercy because we receive mercy. Mercy is not a way to escape. Mercy is also a token to change. Truth, a token to change. Peace, a token to change. What is change? Changing to glory, which is God's righteousness. So Psalm chapter 85 clearly says, righteousness and peace, mercy and truth. But I intentionally mix the group so that we don't take it for granted. I receive mercy because God is righteous. No, you receive mercy because God wants you to be righteous. And there is none can be righteous without the truth of God. And Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. So what is the purpose of us being saved is to receive the truth. And what is the purpose of us receiving the truth is to understand who is God, who is me, and to be like Him. When you do that, and the Lord says, I am the peace of Prince of Peace in your life, because I am the God of peace. Now, righteousness and peace kissed each other. In that kiss, there was sound. A sound. The Lord gave you the truth. When I receive the truth, I understand why the Lord met me with His mercy. There were several times God met people carrying mercy in His hand. I show mercy. People took the mercy and said, you are a wonderful Father in heaven. You are so full of love. Just stand here. I'll go and do my same work again. I'll come back to you. Ask for forgiveness. You show me mercy again. God, mercy of God is not available in installments. He showeth mercy when He wants. He don't show mercy when He don't want. Now let's continue the next verse. The truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. I love this verse. I was keep on reading it again and again and again. That one single verse. How excellent that verse is. It reveals the purpose of why I am saved. Amen. Why I am saved. It reveals the purpose of why I am saved. We sing a song, mercy rewrote my life, and my soul cast down. I was dying like the pen that fell, and the Lord saved me. I was falling, but He caught me. Now, when He caught me, He showed me mercy. But why He caught me? To mold me. For the potter to start the work in me. So remember the two verses. Righteousness and peace kissed each other. Mercy and truth met each other. It does not stop there. The Lord revealed the purpose. For the Father in heaven, who is righteous, to look down on earth, He wants to see the truth sprung out from earth. Amen. Look at verse 11. Truth sprung out from earth, which means He is the gardener. He sowed the seed on earth. He created Adam from the dust of the earth. He sowed the seed and He told Adam, be fruitful and multiply. So, righteous Father in heaven looked down from heaven and He sees His children sprung forth. Oh, this brother baptized, received the name of Christ, started the journey. You are not holy on the day you are baptized. You are just beginning the journey. It's just a type of, Lord, in your mercy, I am ready to walk with you, but without your guidance, leading, I can't walk. So carry me, Lord, carry me home. That is your day of baptism. And when the Lord sees this, that's a joy in heaven. Why? They see the truth sprung out from earth. And the Lord of harvest is rejoicing when a child of God is revealed to who is the creator. But it is not over. The environment, the weather, the storm will try to come and devour the plant. The beast of the field will come and eat the plant, will try to eat the plant. But the Bible says, as long as the Lord is kissing you in His everlasting righteousness, mercy, peace, truth, there is no one can come and eat you. Now, the next verse says, yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, because God is good, and our land shall yield her increase. The land is always compared to a woman. Amen. Because it is the very symbolic type of a womb that brings forth the child. yield a garden that brings forth the fruit to the gardener. Verse 13, righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And the Bible says the righteousness will go before. In the wilderness, the Lord says, follow the ark, because the righteousness will go before thee, you follow him. And from behind your life, the Lord will tell you, this is the way you should walk in it and walk. He will guide you as a flaming fire before thee to consume all the barriers. And also he will shield you, protect you as a flame behind thee, because you are always surrounded by him. Amen. Now, Psalm, come back to the word kiss in a different way. Song of Solomon, come back to the kiss in a different way. So we need to go and study the scripture in different events to set the introduction today. Because this sermon, by the grace of God, will serve as an introduction of the sermon series. Amen. Now let's turn your Bible to Psalm chapter 55, verse 12. Chapter 55, verse 12. For it was not an enemy that reproacheth me, that I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. The Lord says, it is easy for me to handle all of these things because he is not going to be surprised. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together. Sweet counsel together. And walked unto the house of God in company, that is fellowship. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for a wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. He shall hear my voice. Now, here, the scripture talks about sweet counsel. Amen? What is sweet counsel? We sing a song, Sweet River. Our Lord is so sweet. Truth is bitter, but it is sweet. But this is sweet counsel. We all know this particular verse represents the betrayal of Judas to Christ. How the Lord can be killed. Let me put that way. Because no one can kill him. But the Lord says there is a way. There is one way he can be killed, which is his strength and also his weakness in flesh, that is agape. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was killed because of his love, his agape for his own. There is a need of a betrayal to kill the Lord. But I want all of us to remember that betrayal of Judas was completed when he kissed Jesus. Am I right? Why Judas kissed Jesus? To show the army that he is close to him. And not just that, there are 12 disciples, one is Judas, and there are 11 more, including Christ. Now it is 12. Am I right? 12 disciples, including the Lord, is 13. When Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver, he is bringing the army to betray Christ. But I want all of us to think deeply why he told the generals and the soldiers, the one whom I kiss, that is Jesus Christ. Why he said that? So does that mean these soldiers, these generals do not know who exactly is Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Or they may have thought all of them are young, almost same age. Maybe the real Jesus is hiding as Peter, hiding as James, hiding as John. Maybe they're actually trying to protect the real Messiah. And anyone may step forward to be killed in his stead. They needed to identify who exactly is Jesus Christ. In order for Judas to tell them, among the 12, who is Jesus Christ? I want all of us to remember, at the time of betrayal, it was 12, including Christ. Now, if the soldiers have seen the ministry of Christ for 3 years, many Pharisees, many Sadducees complained, criticized, filed so many cases against him to kill him, then how come Judas still have to kiss and identify who is Christ to them? If not, they themselves confused, maybe the real Christ is hidden among the 11. We do not know who is the real one. Or any other reason, just to make sure that there is no one, you know, disguise themselves as Christ. Or they may all look same, almost similar, maybe. And the Bible says Judas went near to him, kissed him. When Judas kissed him, the next verse says he was arrested on the spot. Now tell me, what is the result of that kiss? Death of Christ. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Who kissed who? Jesus kissed Judas or Judas kissed Jesus? The Bible says Judas kissed Jesus. Now, let us turn your scripture to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27 verse 1 to 4. All the verses we read today will help us to get the understanding as a introduction to erase all the familiarities concerning scripture, because people are getting more familiar to scripture. Never ever get familiar to the scripture. We are the family of God, not the familiar family of God. Amen. God will surprise you. Chapter 27 verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. I will do this, I will do that, I will say this, I will do that. The Lord says don't do that, because that is in book of Timothy. If the Lord wills. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Because the day will bring forth truth, salvation in someone's life, and we may not be alive to see the next day, because Jesus said, thou rich fool, this night your life may be demanded from thee, that you may not see tomorrow. And here book of Proverbs says, you do not know what is coming tomorrow. But where it is heading, verse 2, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I kiss myself? Maybe to my hand. I can kiss my hand. But can I kiss my cheek? I can't. My lips is here. Can't move. Let not your lips exalt about thee. But you can see this in the whole world today. The most powerful people, they exalt about themselves. They talk good about themselves. They think good about themselves. They speak good about themselves. They brag about themselves. Now, the next verse says, a stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. And Jesus Christ says, the one who offends my children, it is better for him a stone is tied to his neck and throw him into the ocean. Because even though you know swimming, your neck will be the one to be dragged down to the pit. Because the stone the Lord put here, not in your feet, you will be going upside down. It is better for him. The stone is heavy. And the Lord says, my yoke is what? Easy. My burden is light. Because the one who carries it, carry you along with your burden. And he is stronger than anyone. Next verse says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? That is jealousy of something, have a greed of something. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When Jesus Christ speaks to Peter, the Lord chose him as a spectacle. He was the one who was rebuked the most. He was the one who was put to shame the most among all other disciples. I will show you later. Why? Because the Lord loved him. He could not hide his love. He could not hide his correction because he is a good shepherd. He tells Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." But Peter stood with him. No matter he denied him 3 times, he still stood with him because Peter knows everything the Lord spoke to him, it came back to him alive. He understood what the Lord spoke before. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And the next verse says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Hallelujah. In order for that scripture to be fulfilled, Judas must kiss Jesus Christ. But the Lord never ever called him as his enemy. He loved him truly, dearly. There was no partiality in the love of Christ among all the 12 disciples. He loved them all as whole. But he revealed to them in a way that he wants. Because the love of Christ was constant, but the strength and weakness of the vessel is different. Amen. Verse 7. "The full soul loatheth and honeycomb, but to the hungry soul ever bitter thing is sweet." Now remember the word sweet. And remember the word sweet counsel. Now, verse 8 says, "As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man wandereth from his place." I want all of us to apply this verse to Naaman. Remember the vessel of God, Naaman? Let's go there. 1 Kings, 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 8. 2 Kings, chapter 6. Let's read this first. 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 8. "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither Syrians are come down." Now, in these two verses, I want us to reflect. What do you see? In verse 8 says, the king of Syria, he was fighting against Israel. And that king, he had a council with his servants. Amen? After the council, they come to a conclusion. They came to a decision. And the decision was nothing but premeditation, presumption. In this place, we will have a camp. We will do this. We will go plan A, B, C, D. Then we hit Z. No, we will get this done. And the next verse says, the man of God came, sent to king of Israel and saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once, not twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was so troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel. Telleth the king of Israel that words that thou speakest in thy bed chamber, blessed be the name of the Lord. I want all of us to remember these verses as we are going to continue. What is the fruit of God's counsel? And what is the fruit of the counsel of people? On one side, king of Syria counseled with his servants and doing some plan. On the other side, king of Israel also counseled with servants and doing some plan. And there's a war going on. And before they make a mistake, God sent his servant to intervene and told them, don't go this way. Because the king of Syria is waiting to devour you. And because of that, the Bible says the king of Israel was saved not once, not twice. Which means there are multiple occasions he received what? Mercy. Where is mercy? Mercy. This is mercy. Now, if that king don't understand why he was saved, he will die irrespective of receiving mercy. Why? The purpose of mercy is always to receive understanding. If there is no understanding, what the Lord says, my mercy departed out of Saul. Why? He received mercy, okay? He did not receive the purpose of the mercy, which is understanding. Now keep this example. I'm going to apply this to a completely irrelevant testimony. Let's go one chapter before, chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. We have seen this chapter from a different perspective of garment, thinking the skin is the garment. Whatever that is wrong with the skin, that represents something is wrong with your deeds, your fine linen. But today we see it from a different perspective as per the new sermon series. So far is okay. Verse 9, Naaman came to the door of Elisha. But what is not required is the horses and chariot. The one who needs healing is who? Naaman. Not the horses, not the chariot. But he comes with a setup because he is a well-respected man in the city. A noble man. Verse 10 says, Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, thou shalt be clean. Now tell me, Elisha knew why he came in the first place. He sent a messenger wasting no time. And think about John the Baptist in the place of Naaman, Elisha in the place of Christ. He was ministering, serving the people. And the disciples came and report to him, your cousin John the Baptist is in the jail, in the prison. And you taught us with some parable, when I was in prison, you visited me. Go and visit him. Why? John the Baptist is very angry, very sad that you did not come to visit him. And he was sent to prepare the work for you. He lived all his life for you. Just go and give him some farewell. Just go and tell him, bye-bye, you know, die in mercy. Just go and give him some filia. Just go and show some filia. And the Lord say, I send you a word. You carry the message. You, my disciple, as a messenger, go and tell him what he needs. Blessed is he who is not offended in me. And go and pass the message on the Baptist. And few chapters later, he was killed. Now here, Elisha sent a message to Naaman, to a messenger, which means he did not open the door. He did not come down. He did not say anything to Naaman because Elisha knew he is going to reject it. First rejection, he rejected the messenger. Am I right? Because when the messenger told this, Naaman got very angry. Is he so busy to sit inside? I'm here. Came all the way because the king told me to come here. What kind of prophet is he? A rude man. No love, no mercy. The flesh of Naaman provoked. The true leprosy of Naaman in his spirit was uncovered first. Why? Elisha know if he don't repent, he won't be healed. He sent a messenger. Now, why the Lord is sending laborers, messengers, apostles to us? Because we are stiff-necked people, we won't repent first. We will resist, we will rebel, we will show all our power. Then he will break your knee, pluck out your wings. Then you will say, Lord, I yield. Go and wash in the river of Jordan 7 times. I told you already. But look at the response of Naaman. Naaman says, he was wroth and went away. He did not even stand to reason. He went away in his own understanding. He left. He fled the presence of God. Once you fled from the presence of God, what is left is lack of understanding and self-righteousness and own counseling of death. And what happens is, I thought, which means you came to the place with a premeditation, with a plan, a plan A, plan B. You came the place with expectation. What is the expectation for all of us to come to the congregation of God? to be touched by His presence, to be touched by His anointing, to be healed in our sinful nature, to be pruned, to be fruitful, to be chastened in His everlasting mercy and righteousness, to change, and most of all, to be a meaningful vessel to someone who do not know the Lord yet. That is the ultimate goal. Amen? It's not about you. It's all about Him and His people. You are also His people. But if He revealed to you, you have the same mindset as Him. It's all about His children. Redemption. What the Lord is going to do for His children today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will go and rejoice in God's plans of redemption. I'll just be a witness to His true and faithful work. Now Naaman left the place. You look at the word he spoke and remember what I read in 1 Kings chapter 6. He says, I thought He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, His God. His God, Naaman. In that single verse, it shows who you are. Where do you stand? Your God, our God. When the mercy of God departed Saul, Saul tells Samuel, Prophet Samuel, let us go and worship thy God. What about you? And Naaman says, I surely thought, I know for sure. Elisha will come at the doorpost, lift up his hands to the heaven, will scream like a charismatic preacher, will cast anointing on me, then I will go crazy, I will be healed. Nothing happened. I am offended. And he could not keep his mouth shut. He says another word saying, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. So you don't want to be struck. You want the prophet to strike the land because you are not wrong. Eh? Then what was running in the mind of Naaman? I am not wrong. This leprosy, maybe I'm a martyr. I'm a righteous child of God. I'm paying the price of being a child of God. Hello? God is righteous. God is righteous. You can't show mercy to God. Lord, you know what? I will let you show mercy to me. He thinks this is what the prophet is going to do because he was reading books in the past. Maybe Elijah was doing this. Different prophets have done this. It's going to be the same pattern. Now when he said this, verse 12, are not Abana and Pharpar and rivers of Damascus? So he mentioned three rivers mentioned by the lips of this man. Which means he had some thoughts in his heart about these three names. So Elisha wanted him to vomit about these three names. I thought Abana and Pharpar and Damascus, these are better than the waters of Israel. When he said this, his nakedness was uncovered to the light. Because he did not believe in the holy kiss of the Lord Almighty in his presence, which could change him, but rather he had a own way of counsel. Then, so he turned and went away in a rage. And this is the reason he left. Because things did not go as he wanted. By doing so, his utter nakedness was completely brought out to light. What happened next is a pure demonstration of the next chapter. The servants of Naaman chased him. They found him and they asked him, my Lord, what are you doing, my Lord? If they did not give him counsel, that Naaman will die as leper, same as King Uzziah. So, there was counsel of men that was rejected, then the counsel of God that was established. He understood what those whom he loved, they came and told him because he understood that they love him dearly. The agape made him to see what is the real message. Then he obeyed. He washed himself 7 times and he was healed. Amen. But the next chapter, it happens again concerning King of Syria and King of Israel. And there is a God council that is established and the King of Israel is preserved. Amen. Now let's remember this and come back to Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27, we are in verse Chapter 27, we are in verse 9. Proverbs. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. What is hearty counsel? You mean what you say from the heart. My friend, I wish you well, and I say from the heart, not from the lips. I'm sure you all have friends who are flattery. Who are flattery to the point whereby you know outright it is completely artificial, but you just know, just mind your own business. They are not friends. A true friend will look at you face to face and will tell you you are wrong when he sees you going in wrong direction. Amen? An evil friend will smoke together with you, knowing that your lungs will be destroyed. He will say, let's go together, man. An evil friend will justify your short temper. No, God is giving you righteous anger. That is God's leading. An evil friend will justify your flesh. But the friend in Christ will bless all of us to crush the flesh for the spirit to be willing. That is who Jesus Christ is to you. And he said, I called you as my servant, but yet you are my friends. Look at the verse. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of the calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. Do you really understand why the Lord said, love thy neighbors? Because the one you think he is your friend will forsake and betray you and run far away from you. But the one who thinks you is your neighbor, the Lord will transform him into the friend who will die for your sin. He can do it. The one you thought who is your enemy will become your closest friend. It happened in your school days. The one you thought you are going to hate in the most, in the end he became your closest friend. And what is the meaning of the last verse, that is verse 10? Neighbor is better than a friend, a brother is far off. You want to see who is a true friend, true brother, true sister, true family of God, is the one who stands with you through life and death. The one who stands by side in prayer. Why? A neighbor is better than a brother who is far away. Now the Lord says, I am close to a contrite heart, a contrite spirit, a broken heart. He says, I'm near to you. Lord, what if I change my heart to be a heart of strong, boastful, prideful? The Lord says, I am your friend, but I'm far away from thee. Why? You praise me, worship me in your lips, but your heart is far away from me. I chose not to leave you, but you chose to leave me. That is what happened to Judas. Now, in order for the counsel of God to stay in the family of God, there is a closeness, there is a nearness that gives you the sound, shout of victory. Amen? Why we clap when we sing? It is in the scripture all over. They clapped and sang song to the Lord. The Lord can even make your hand to sing praise to him. But our tongue that no man can tame may refuse to praise him. Why? It is bound to your free will. This one is not his hand. If the Lord broke us, we will automatically clap him and ask him for his attention. Son of David, help me, Lord. Now, Proverbs, Psalm, Song of Solomon. We just get these scriptures just to set the context. What is this kiss? What is this counsel? Can they meet together? Because it clearly says, righteousness and peace kiss each other. Mercy and truth met each other. There was a counsel. What is counsel? There was a counseling between godly attributes that resulted in truth to be sprung from the earth. Now let's turn your scriptures to Romans 16:16 before we go into the main theme. Romans 16:16. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. So I come every Sunday, give you flying kiss. You won't. Salute everyone and give a holy kiss. Like a, you know, flying kiss. But that is not pointing to what the apostles are telling. When David came down to the valley, he saluted the brethren by greeting them in the name of the Lord. Shalom, the Lord is with you, the Lord is with us. I love you in the truth of God. Let us overcome this. Don't give up. He was encouraging everyone. Don't give up. He did not know that he's going to kill Goliath. To the fact anyone could have killed Goliath, even Eliab, even Saul, whoever is ready on the day. But how David kissed the brethren is by the Lord who comforted the people of Israel that today the battle is over. Go and rest. The glory of the Lord kissed the people and there was calmness, quietness, joy, peace, confidence, no assurance. David saluted the brethren and the holy kiss came from the Holy One because David is not holy. You do your part and God will do his part. But because of the kiss, there was a death on that day. Only one death. Goliath. Because even before the battle was began, David ended the battle. No, not today. He sent one champion and David became that vessel of God. The stone was the champion, which represents the rock of refuge, the lively stone, the chief cornerstone, the champion of our life, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He killed Goliath, the life, the word of God. In spiritual life, I'm saying. Apostles admonishing the apostolic faith, telling, salute one another with a holy kiss. Now, what is this holy kiss? Now, let's see two images before I read the other scripture. Let us all just look at this because there is none can escape this. It's part of our life. Brothers, sisters, nephews, niece, grandchildren, grandparents, husbands, wives, friends. We have so much relationship, even teachers, elderly. In their wisdom, they kiss the young ones. Do you think it's nothing? You know how important the scripture talks about this one? Imagine a grandfather is kissed by a grandchild. But there is one generational gap. The father is missing, you know, in this picture, the first one. But still, that child is son of that grandfather in terms of seed. Like Elizabeth is called daughter of Aaron. But she is the great-great-great-granddaughter. It's okay. In spirit, she is the seed of Aaron. That is why John the Baptist had to come from him, the high priest. Now, a grandchild, a grandmother, or a father kissing the child, or even elderly couple kiss one another on their forehead. No, they know that they lived together. They are friends to one another. You see, the love is matured. It is not depending on some personal dishonest gain. That I need your wealth, I need your, you know, reputation. No, no such thing. I live for you, live for me. As simple as that. In the purest form of expression of love. No need of words. Now, let's look at this, the next one. A father carry the child and kiss a mother, does the same, and a groom kiss the bride. Now, in all of this, there is only one thing that is common, irrespective of age group. Siblings, friends, colleagues, whatever. Just take everything out. What is common here is there was no gap when a person kisses another person. Amen? No gap. In flesh, they are touching one another. A mother and a child, for instance. And there is nearness, closeness. There is nearness and closeness. And there is nothing but outpouring of emotions, purity. Amen? Well, let's remember this and let's go to the scripture. Genesis 27:26. So I'm going to run through different events, as today is the first part of the sermon series. We are not going to any specific pillar, but let the Lord lay the foundation. Amen? Without foundation, you should never ever build a pillar. There must be a foundation in the Word of God. Genesis 27, verse 27. I read from verse 26. And his father Isaac said unto him, that is Jacob, look at the word, come near now. Which means Jacob was standing a bit further away. And the father commanded the son, come here tomorrow or when you want. Monday, are you free? When you are free, I will just stay here. Now. Come here now. Salvation is now. If you want to do something good, do it now. Because the moment you are revealed to it, you are ready. The father tells Jacob, come here now. But we all know Isaac cannot see properly. Am I right? But how come he knows that he is a bit farther away? How come he knows that he is a bit far away? Because he listened to the voice of Jacob. He understands that he is standing a bit far away. Am I right? Because Jacob is speaking to the father. He says, come here now. And he tells him, kiss me. Wow. Come here now and kiss me, my son. If you are standing there witnessing this, what do you say? Wow. What a father, what a son. But that event is a complete setting of deception. But Isaac, he don't care. Why? He loves the sons truly. He has no partiality. But the mother thought there is partiality. So she did everything to make sure Jacob is blessed. Am I right? But do you know who is the mother? Rebecca. Do you know the attitude of Rebecca before she married Isaac? She told the parents. The parents asked her, Eliezer is going. If you want, you can stay there here with us for 10 more days. Then you can go. But Eliezer says, I will not force her. I will just go first. It's up to her. And Rebecca says, I want to go now to meet my groom. And she went with the damsels and she met Isaac. That is Rebecca. When she was a bride. But now she's a mother. Same as Bathsheba. When Bathsheba was revealed that her son Solomon may lose the throne to Adonijah, she was troubled. Oh, no, 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 no. I suffered a lot. My first son was killed by the Lord. This my God's replacement, like Seth. This Solomon, he should be king. So she was speaking to David to make sure Adonijah will not get the kingdom. Am I right? The mother was troubled. Why? The mother was focused on putting the son in the place where she wants him to be. But do you think that God was pleasing in all of this? We have to be spiritually wise. What is happening? And who was righteous in the entire chapter was Isaac. If you read this thoroughly, there was one who was very innocent, ignorant, full of love, like a child. Isaac. He don't know what's happening, but he was loving them all. He was speaking them all. He was not being decisive. Like an innocent child. But he was the oldest of all in that time. Am I right? In the setting. And Isaac says, my son, come. Kiss me. So Isaac tells the son, come near now and kiss me. Father demands the love of the child. But do we do that to the Father in heaven? Or do we ever have the desire to understand that my Father in heaven also wants to draw me closer to him, to kiss me? Or we always stand at a far distance, I want this, I want that, no, make sure you protect me. Oh, heal me, I forgot. Heal me. Oh, I forgot. Take me to heaven. Come near now and kiss me, my son. The my son, it really made me emotional. Because he could have simply said, oh, come now and kiss me. Kiss me, my son. Do everything in decent and in order. You know what people do? They take it as a law of Moses, plan A, B, C, D, steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is not law and order. In decent, in order, in gentleness, and in agape. Because there is no order against agape. There is no law against the love. Amen. The love of God is the only order that we all have. It is a commandment. The next verse says, and he came near and kissed him. Son obeyed the father. Son stand where the father stands. And he says, he smelled the smell of his raiment. Now this is where Rachel comes into picture. The wife knows the husband will smell. And she made sure everything is properly covered. And Isaac smelled the raiment. He blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Now, please tell me, if Isaac is not in God's anointing, can he be deceived by Rebecca or Jacob to say a lie? Which means Isaac is telling the truth. There was a sweet smell coming from the raiment, irrespective of whatever the intent was behind that. Because in all of this, Jacob is God's chosen. Are you the chosen of God? Irrespective of all the mistakes you have made in your life, don't you see how miraculously he saved you? Can we simply say, there is a scripture, the whole world abuse it, and I will also abuse the same thing. You know what the scripture? Everything work together for good, those who love God. And those who are called according to his purpose, I am God chosen. Whatever the mistake I do, everything works out for good. Come on. You can't show mercy on yourself. That verse is a verse of encouragement, not a verse of insurance. That verse is heavily abused. Have you seen that? Whatever we do, we can simply say, finally, everything works out for good. The word everything, I want all of us to be remembered, it is not everything. The Bible talks about all things, yea, the deep things of God. That thing work together for good, for God is good. Not all things. To God, not all are all things. Because he is holy, he is all in all. Not in all things. The Bible says, the Spirit searcheth all things. Okay, which means the Spirit searching all things. And the Bible says, all things, yea, deep things of God. Amen. Self-realization, deep things of God. Self-destruction, not deep things of God. Self-harming, not deep things of God. Self-exaltation, not deep things of God. Amen? Now, when the Bible speaks about this, Isaac says, therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and the plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's son, hello, Rebecca, it is your wife, let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, blessed be he that blesseth thee. Now answer me, if Isaac did not say any of it, Jacob, can he be blessed? Can Jacob say, who are you to bless me? My God bless me. He says, God of Jacob is my help. He used my name, you know. I am Jacob. If Isaac did not bless Jacob, God will not bless Jacob, period. Moses blessed the people of Israel. Amen? Can we say, God would not let you enter promised land. You don't bless us. We want to be blessed by someone who will enter the promised land. I am very smart. You will be cursed. And God tells Abraham, Abimelech will come to you. I told him to be prayed by you. You pray, I will heal him. Lord, are you playing the mediator? Yes, he has a name, the mediator of the covenant. He mediates people so that his agape, his truth, his light can spread through his kingdom. He's a mediator. Now in all of this, if Isaac was fooled, why he told Jacob to come and kiss him? Who kissed who? Isaac kissed Jacob or Jacob kissed Isaac? He says, come and kiss me, my son. Which means Jacob kissed Isaac. Am I right? Now let's skip. We will not continue with Esau. We will come back to his letter. Now continue 28. No, chapter 29, verse 10. Genesis 29, verse 10. So from now on, the reason why I start with son and father is for all of us to remember the son honoreth the father. Amen? God gave his only son. And Jesus Christ says, I have glorified thee. And Lord, may you glorify me and those who believe you through me. Because he is the only way, he is the truth, he is the life. Amen? And he was covered by all our iniquities, all our shame. And he was slain in the place of us. Like what happened to Esau, Jacob and Isaac. Amen. Now here, the next chapter, 29, verse 10 says, and it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother. The role of Rebecca is much more beyond what you think. She is not just the wife of Isaac. She was also the bridge of Jacob's two wives, Rachel and Leah. His mother's brother. And it says, Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother. I want us to read this slowly again so that you understand what exactly those two words mean. I repeat. Jacob, who types Israel, he saw Rachel, the wife that she's going to be, as a bride. Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, identified through Rebecca. Amen. Then the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother. So Jacob saw two things. One, Rachel. Two, sheep. Now when the Lord called all of us, we are the pasture of fish, you know, sheep, that we eat his pasture, his wood, and we are the sheep, that he is a shepherd. But he also called us, you are my friend and you are my bride. Amen. Jacob saw the bride and Jacob saw the sheep. But both of them belong to Laban, and Laban is the father of all, like Jethro for Moses. Now Laban is father-in-law to Jacob, like Jethro is father-in-law to Moses. Same pattern. Absolutely same pattern, because God wants to teach a lesson. On that side, that was Zipporah. On this side, it is Rebecca. And now it is Rachel. Now what he says is, Jacob went near. Son Jacob went near to father Isaac. Now, groom Jacob went near to bride Rachel. Am I right? And he says, he rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Why I said it is the same? There was a well water cattle for Rebecca. There was a well water cattle for Zipporah. There was a well cattle water for same, Rachel. And there was three men, Moses, and that time it was Eleazar, and here it is Jacob himself. Now, what happened next? Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. Hello, you are not even engaged. The first wife of Jacob is actually not Rachel, it's Leah. But the first daughter of Laban who was kissed by Jacob is Rachel. He jumped the gun. Smart. He could not control his love, his affection, because the Bible says he wept. How come a man can weep when he saw the bride? Was there a longingness in Jacob for all the wilderness he was roaming here and there? When she saw her, the purpose of his life come before him and slap him to come to reality. Something happened. He kissed her in pure form of love. In purest form of love. Like a brother to sister. Like Abraham and Sarah. Like a friends in Christ. Expression of love, and he wept. And Jesus Christ saw Jerusalem. He see what's going to happen to this city, her. Walls will be broken, temple will be destroyed, Holocaust is coming, people will be scattered, they will do all the evil things. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, it will become the synagogue of Satan, not of Jews. But brother, how dare you to say this? No, I didn't say this. The Lord said this in the book of Revelation. The land will become synagogue of Satan, not of Jews. And the Bible says Jesus wept. Either it is outpouring of love or it is outpouring of burden, pain. But here it is outpouring of love and, you know, longingness. He was desiring. And verse 12 says, and Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother. Hello, you are not his father's brother. You are the son of Rebekah, who is a sister of Laban. You know, we have to understand what he really means. That we are all the same family, the seed. And that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. So, something happened between these two. And Rachel ran. She did not walk. Do you see that desperation between these two? She could not walk. She ran. The same way the Samaritan woman who met Christ in Jacob's well, he also ran to the city and told everyone about him. And those who heard her invitation, they went to see Christ. They went closer to him to be kissed by his sermon, to be kissed by his revelation of truth. Amen? A touch, a shout of revival. Now, Isaac was kissed by Jacob. Now, Rachel was kissed by Jacob. And this Jacob is being a good kisser. Kiss the father, kiss the future wife. He's being very, you know, possessive. Took the birthright and also, you know, planned the wedding date. But the Lord surprised him by introducing Leah in the game. 7 more years before he gets Rachel. Now, continue the same book of Genesis, chapter 31. And let's bring the father-in-law, because he also needs to stand in the queue to teach us what is kiss to him. Genesis 31, verse 26. Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done? That thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword. Jacob, you were with me for all these years and you simply came and stole my two daughters and ran away from me with all the everything. Laban is angry. Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me and didst not even tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs and tabret and with harp? I am your father-in-law. Do you think that I will destroy you? I would have given everything to you. But why you didn't tell me? Why you misunderstood me? Why you did not counsel with me? Jacob, father-in-law, is outpouring his disappointment. But you know what? Before this, God spoke to Laban, don't destroy Jacob. He made a mistake. Or you made a mistake. You both made a mistake. Because he's the only one who is right. Amen? In all our life, never ever think, I am right, he is wrong. Or he is right, I am wrong. God alone who is right. And the word right has another word, God is good. For us, right means, you know, the tick symbol, tick. For God, it's not tick symbol, it's whole. It's round. He makes all of us whole. That is right to him in his righteousness. Amen. Now, Laban is telling all of this to Jacob. And he says this in the next verse. And has not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. You took all my, you know, all my family, my daughters, my seeds. How dare you? You don't even let me kiss them, man. Because in those traditions, in those culture, kiss means it's so important to them. When they leave, when they bid farewell, they kiss them and send them go. It's not just culture, it is they could not. Because there is no cell phone, there is no video call. Once they go, that's all. You can't even see them again. You may not see them again at all. And Laban was so much troubled that his daughters left him. His heart was longing to see them. And he ran and overpowered Jacob and caught him. And he was telling all of this. And it says, you did not even let me kiss my daughters. What kind of son-in-law are you? Now, as I speak, think about you as the bride. Think about your creator, the word of God, as the groom. And think about the Father in heaven as the Spirit of God, eternal Holy Spirit. For God is Spirit. Amen. Now he says, it is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. I had all the power to destroy you. Because Laban was powerful than Jacob in terms of people, servants, whatever. Jacob was no one when he reached Laban. And he said, but the God of your father, who? The one whom you kissed. The God of your father, that is God of Isaac. You kissed your father. Your father told you, come near now. You obeyed your father, and the father let you kiss him. You kissed your father, and the father told you, come near now. And you obeyed your father, that father, Isaac, and the God of that father, God of Isaac. So whatever that Isaac was blessing Jacob is not a joke. All those who loved you in Christ, who blessed you, never ever take their blessings for granted. It was God who blessed you through them. Even your child who tells you, I wish you well, you take it in the name of the Lord. And when Laban said this, Jacob is listening, you mean that you could have killed me and God intervened and told you, don't kill me? But I thought God led me to escape. And indeed, what's happening here? If everyone say, God led me, God led me, God leads me, and the Lord would not do anything, he will just wait, 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 everything will answer itself. The word God's leading, if it is purely understood, not properly, if it is purely understood, all the false ministries in the world today will fall like an eggshell. One hit will fall, collapse. But they don't. Why? The word God's leading is misunderstood by all the people. God led me. God leading me. May the Lord open our eyes, our ears, our mouth, our heart, our understanding to truly understand what is God's leading and what is God's counsel and what is this kiss of God's counsel. The counsel has a kiss indeed. When God leads us in his counsel, in his family, he will leave you with a fruit, and that fruit is the kiss of God's counsel. You come near to him, you kiss him. He come near to you, he kiss you. Now let's look at this. Next verse. Take, but God of your father spake unto me yesterday night, which means he was in the mindset of destroy him as of yesterday. But Jacob received a new mercy this morning on that day. Today is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it, because Laban is not going to kill you. He's not going to destroy you, because God showed him to show love. Show kiss. Kiss him. And when he said this, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. I love it. God tells Laban, you go, okay, do nothing, okay, kiss your daughters, okay, don't say anything good, don't say anything bad. Oh, Lord, I can't stop speaking good. I'm a good person. And the Lord tells Laban, keep your mouth shut. To be straight to his face. How about I give an encouragement word? And God tells Moses, Moses, what are you doing? Lord, wait. Be still and know that I am God. Okay, Miriam, play a song. Aaron, make some music. Let's all sing song. Let's all play. And God says, move forward. Don't cry to me. I never told you to give this speech now. Finish the work first. The dry land is before thee. Walk before me first. The glory comes at the end. Not in the process. Now, when God tells this to Laban, don't speak good, don't speak bad, it means let the Lord have his way. And continue to verse 54. Same chapter, verse 54. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren to eat bread. And they did eat bread. It means they fellowship. They broke the bread. They were communing as one family. They were fellowshipping. They were praying. they were gathering in the presence of God. That is breaking bread. Not having good breakfast, then super good lunch and sleep. Breaking bread means apostles gathered in the houses and they broke bread. Spiritually, house of God, broke bread is the word of God. And because of that, they tarried all night in the mount. So Laban was given a chance to spend time with his family because he was chasing. Why? Laban felt the distance. Where are my daughters? He felt the distance. He couldn't take it because he wanted the nearness of his loved ones, closeness of his loved ones. He was chasing for it. In that chase, he was angry because Jacob took it away from him. And God said, don't do anything. It is I behind all of this. He taught a lesson to Jacob. He taught a lesson to Laban. And he's teaching all of us a lesson with the last verse. He says, early in the morning, Laban rose, that is father, and kissed his son and his daughter's children and blessed them. And Laban departed, returned unto his place. Hallelujah. God so loved the world. The world was in complete darkness. The Son of Man, Son of God, came as a light in the early morning. He saluted the brethren, died for your sin, my sin. And the Father in heaven kissed all of us with salvation, the promise of Holy Ghost. And the Son of God said, I am going to my Father, your Father, my God, your God. You will not see me for a while. And he departed to his place. And he tell the bride, this is the address, come and meet me up in the air. At the time of redemption. Amen. We cannot remain in the place where we are. The Lord says, the address is, meet me up in the air. With the wings of faith, we should fly spiritually. Not with the stones that are bringing you to the death. That is your unholy human emotions, all the weariness, all the lack of understanding. Stones that we are not supposed to carry in our neck. And the Lord says, take it out and carry the wood on your shoulder as Isaac. The word of God on our shoulder. The tribes, the Levites were carrying the Ark of the Covenant in the wilderness on the shoulders. Amen. Now Laban kissed the family and his heart is at peace, at rest. Now he left. Now let's continue. Chapter. Okay. Before you go there, if you look at the last verse 55, after Laban kissed, amen, look at the next verse. It says, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Now, I will ask you a question. Let us imagine Laban could not meet Jacob, and Jacob was very smart, taking a lot of shortcuts, U-turn, escape from Laban's side, thinking that he's being a very smart person, and he finally reached a place where God's angel is going to meet him, and he's waiting. And telling all the wives, you know, Leah, Rachel, you see how I escaped from your father. Your father is not smart. He can't catch me, you see. I'm the best son-in-law ever. And the angels would not come. Jacob will wait there forever. Angels of God would not come. Because being blessed by Laban was part of Jacob's journey. Being blessed by Laban was critical for Rachel and Leah. And it was finished. The immediate, the next verse says, when Jacob went on his way, angels of God met him because God's will is being fulfilled step by step. What happened here is a very important event because this is the meeting of Jacob and Esau. Now let's stop it there and let's go to Exodus chapter 4. So we are exploring different types of kisses and different types of glory of God. How it blesses the people of God. Exodus 4 verse 24. And it came to pass by the way in the inn, the Lord met him and sought him to kill him. Now here, Moses, the son of Moses, Zipporah. Three characters are going through God's work. Now please answer me, Laban sought Jacob, he found Jacob, am I right? He could speak whatever he wanted to speak. Now here the verse says, the Lord sought him to kill him. Because the son of Moses was not circumcised according to what Zipporah was thinking. The next verse says, Zipporah was searching for a sharp stone. She found it. Next verse. She found a sharp stone and cut up the foreskin of her son, cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. But she's a woman. Remember the word sharp stone. Can anyone remember extremely opposite example? Smooth stone. Who chose out his own smooth stones? David. Now, smooth stones cannot be used for circumcision. Sharp stone cannot be used in the battle. Why? If David needs to throw the stone in a sling, the stone has to be smooth. Only then he can aim and hit the target without wavering. If he uses a sharp stone, crooked design, if he holds it in the sling, he can't catch it properly. When he releases it, it will go in a crooked way. Correct? The Bible says smooth stone was used by David, good man. Sharp stone was used by Zipporah. So remember this, sharp stone of Zipporah, smooth stone of David. One, circumcision. Two, victory in the battle. But why we are talking about this? After this happened, next verse. So he let him go, and then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. She said this twice. Do you notice this? First time she says, bloody husband thou art to me. Which is she's pointing to herself. My husband. My child. Amen? Second time she says, bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. Now she's pointing to circumcision. She excluded herself out. Pointing to what the church is doing to all of us today. Look at the next verse. And the Lord said to Aaron, hey, hold on. The story is going on with Moses, Zipporah and the son, Jashon. Suddenly God went to Aaron. Why? What is the location between these two groups? They were not physically in the same place. Aaron is somewhere in the wilderness. After this particular divine event is completed, which is Moses, Zipporah, Jashon, they are saved from God's destruction. Let's keep it that way simply. They are surrounded by a ball of blood. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron. Can you speak to Moses first? Then the Lord speak to Aaron. Can you speak to Zipporah first? And the Lord spoke to Aaron. Who is Aaron? The high priest who will bear the iniquity of the people of Israel. He don't know it. Moses don't know it. Nobody knows it coming. And the Lord tells Aaron, he tells him, go into the wilderness to meet Moses, which means they are physically separated in two different locations. But on this side, when this is completed, the verse changes by saying, God met Aaron. But he could have met Aaron when Moses said, I am not a good English professor. I didn't study in Harvard. You can go and check Aaron. He's from Oxford. But God was not looking for a speaker. He was looking for a servant. And Moses misunderstood God's way of speaking. And God knows that he needs high priest anyway. And the job where opening is there. And in his everlasting mercy, Aaron was chosen even before he was born. Because we were in his mind even before he laid the foundations. God is not reacting to people's mindset. We are living a life without being able to overcome his mind. Because his perfect will is standard for sure. Amen? And when God tells this to Aaron, he says, he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. But the Lord said he is in the wilderness. But the Bible says Aaron met Moses in the mount of God. Now, who was the guide of Aaron? How come Aaron was able to navigate the wilderness to reach where Moses was? How come Moses was not able to navigate to reach the promised land? Pharaoh could not find Moses, but Aaron could find Moses. So Aaron find Moses in the wilderness and kissed him. Aaron kissed Moses. Son kissed the father. groom kissed the bride, father-in-law kissed the family of son-in-law, that is his daughters and their grandchildren. And now here, elder brother kissed younger brother, that is Aaron, who is 3 years older than Moses, kissed Moses. Now tell me why he kissed him. Because they did not see each other for a long time. Correct? They did not see each other for a long time. And there was an outpouring agape is being built as Aaron is walking. Where is my brother? Where is my brother? How is he doing? Is he okay? Is he well? Is he doing good? There was agape. There was friendship. There was love. There was earning. There was pining desire. Like Chimham to Barzillai. So Aaron saw Moses. He kissed him. And God knows, high priest hired, leader hired, let's go. Mercy and truth met each other. Moses represents truth, unwavering, relentless, ruthless. But Aaron represents high priest, mercy Lord, offerings Lord, sacrifice Lord, flame always burning continually Lord, don't destroy us Lord, mercy, high priest. Aaron goes to the tabernacle, he come out, he died not. Mercy. Moses came from mountain, killed 3,000, goes up, righteousness. Righteousness and peace kissed each other. Amen. Now, let's turn your Bible to Exodus 18, chapter 18. Verse 7. How come son-in-law cannot kiss the father-in-law? So let's cover that as well. Exodus 18, verse 7. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance and kissed him. Okay, finally we got one missing piece. Now this time, Moses kissed Jethro. Amen? Respect, honor, and love. Do you know, because Moses kissed Jethro, God revealed what Moses was lacking, what Moses was missing through Jethro. And Jethro told Moses, the burden that you are bearing now will destroy you. Delegate it. Distribute it. And Moses obeyed exactly what the father-in-law said. And verse 26, the same chapter, and they judged the people at all seasons and hard causes they brought unto Moses. But every small matter they judged themselves. Verse 27. But Moses let his father-in-law depart and he went his way into his own land. Laban went his way to his own land. Moses let him go to his own land. But what happened when Moses kissed Jethro? Now let's come back to verse 7. When Moses kissed him and they asked each other of their welfare. So there was a fellowship. How are you? Are you okay? Are you doing well? Are you healthy? Do you eat well? Do you sleep well? There was fellowship. But there are two or more gathered in his name, and that is God. And they came into the tent. Verse 8. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake. What is Israel? Jacob, whose name changed to Israel. And all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them, like a pregnancy, and the Lord delivered the child, the fruit of redemption. Next verse. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel. He was not rejoicing in the destruction of Pharaoh's army. He was rejoicing in the goodness of God, in the people of God. But today's world, or you fight with me, you will see me what is righteous anger of God. I will just be still. That is shameful attitude of Egypt. Jethro says, I rejoice in God's goodness in your life. You see, in the presence of God, goodness of God will manifest. So Jethro is being a good child, and Moses being a good child and God being the good father, watching them in tent, in spirit, and looking at the children, speak to him in love. When Jethro said this, he says, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of Egyptians. He said this twice? No. He rejoiced first, that is deeply in the abundance of his heart, that is verse 10. You have to remember, verse 9, he is not speaking. It was verse 10, he speaks. Verse 9, he rejoiced, amen, out of the abundance of the heart, that is verse 9. And verse 10, Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of Pharaoh, who has delivered the people from under the hand of Egyptians. He said this three times, totally in heart. And verse 11, now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, and took a burnt offering, sacrifices for God, and Aaron came. Where is Aaron? He cannot be missed in such fellowship because he is a high priest. Aaron came. There is no fellowship without the high priest, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He should be there. The one who is seated in the throne of grace and mercy, interceding for all of us. He should be there. Aaron was there. Aaron came. Fellowship is complete. And all the elders of Israel who were advised by Jethro to judge later, to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And the whole fellowship was addressed, identified in the name of Jethro. With Jethro before God. That is why God spoke to Jethro to tell the message to Moses. Tell him to delegate. To trust and delegate. Because bear ye one another's burden and fulfill the law of Christ. And that is what you see in this particular chapter. Now let's continue. Let's go to 1 King. 1 King chapter 19. Let us stir up our hearts to reflect everything that happened in our life. And may the Lord bless us to consider what he is revealing to us. 1 Kings chapter 19. Yes, verse 18. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Now answer me. What is the difference between this kiss, kissing the ball, and Isaac kissed, Jacob kissed, Moses kissed, Aaron kissed, and the groom kissed? What is the difference between these kisses? One is the fear of death submission, and the one is fear of God and perfect submission. Amen? Both look same, but one is kiss of death. The another one is kiss of life. And the Lord says, there are 7,000 stand for me. They won't kiss the feet of Baal. Whenever we serve the flesh, you kiss the feet of Baal. Every time we do something that profane God, that grieve his spirit, you and me kiss the feet of Baal. That is, you serve the mammon, the world. By serving the world, you kiss the feet. When the woman who broke the alabaster box, the Bible says, the Lord saw Peter, and he asked Peter, Peter, what do you think about this puzzle? The Lord talks about one creditor gives money to two people, and then he decided, I forgive all of you. And the Lord asked Peter, tell me who is the most blessed, who is the most, you know, feeling, who feel more grateful. And Peter says, of course, the one who received the most. And the Lord says, Peter, you judged right. And what Peter would say, hey, James, John, see, I told you I'm the best student in the class. Peter will always raise the hand even before the question was addressed. And the Lord told Peter, you said the right thing. Yes. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Gospel of Mark says, only the Gospel of Mark says, when the Lord came and told the people don't sleep, the third time, He says, Simon Peter, why are you sleeping? Lord, there are two more sleeping. Simon Peter, why are you sleeping? Lord, James, John sleeping. Simon Peter, why are you sleeping? His name was explicitly addressed in that chapter. Why? What about James and John? In other gospel, it says three were sleeping. But in Mark, his name was exposed as if Mark had a beef with Peter. Hey, Peter, see what I'm doing to you. In the Gospel of John, chapter 9, I believe, when John and James tell the Lord, how about we burn the village? Why their name was mentioned? What about Peter? He was the one who always represented the group, right? But Peter's name was not mentioned. It was James and John was mentioned. Lord, can we burn the village? And the Lord says, you are not in my spirit. Now, what is happening here? And now read this. The Lord talks about kissing the feet of Baal. Now, let's continue to 1 Samuel. Two more verses as we close the service today. We need to remember these two examples. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Verse 1. It's very important what I'm reading now. The last two passages. Book of Samuel, 1st and also 2nd. Two different types of kisses. That means entirely two different things. Verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Prophet kissed the one who is going to be the king. Amen? Anointed and also kissed him. Now, in that event, Saul was revealed to God's purpose in his life, which is verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. You will change. So what the prophet said came to life in the life of Saul. You will change. Now, when Saul changed, there is going to be wisdom. Amen? There is going to be understanding. Look at the last verse, verse 16. And Saul's uncle, verse 15, in the same chapter, verse 15. And Saul's uncle said, tell me, I pray thee, what Samuel said unto you. Now answer me, what is the intent of this uncle? Why do you want to know? I want to know. Did the Lord tell you to get to know, go and ask Samuel? No, the uncle says, tell me what Samuel told to you. But the uncle had no courage to ask Samuel because the intent was not right before the Lord. He could not approach the prophet of God. He approached Saul, who is weaker, not yet anointed as a king yet. He asked Saul, tell me what Samuel said. And look at the attitude of Saul. Verse 16. And Saul said unto his uncle, he told us plainly that the asses were found, but the matter of kingdom whereof Samuel spake, he told him not. When I read that, when Saul said, the asses are found, when the triumphant entry of Christ into the city, he was made to sit on a donkey. Amen. That beast was carrying the Lord to enter. And we are all found. He searched and found all of us from our being the prodigal son, prodigal daughter state. Amen. And Saul said, the asses are found. Regarding the kingdom, he says, I won't tell you. But he didn't even talk about it. He was wise as a serpent to hide it from him. Why? That counsel belongs to Saul, Samuel, and God. And Samuel kissed Saul and told him, the Lord will reveal to you what is your inheritance. And Saul is changing. Let's remember this. Let's all rise. 2 Samuel chapter 14. 2 Samuel chapter 14. Verse 31. 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 31. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom unto his house, and said unto him, wherefore have thy servant set my field on fire? And Absalom answered Joab, behold, I send unto thee, saying, come hither, that I may send thee to the king to say, wherefore am I come from Geshur? Yet had been good for me to have been there still. Now therefore, let me see the king's face. And if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me. I want us to take it slow and steady. What is happening between Absalom and Joab? Verse 33. So Joab came to the king and told him, when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king, bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. 2 Sundays ago, I mentioned the same chapter from a different perspective. King David kissed Barzillai and sent him his way, because Barzillai pleased David's heart. David was blessed by Barzillai, the 80-year-old faithful servant. And he passed the blessing to his son, his servant, Chimham, young one. And now Absalom wanted to get an invitation to meet David, because David told him to go out. Now Absalom wanted to get the attention of Joab, so he burned the field. So Joab caught the attention. But Absalom told Joab, let the king kill me. But Joab is not the king. Amen? Joab is not the king. Absalom said, if there is any iniquity, let the king kill me. I tell you, he told this from the heart. He meant what he said. Because Absalom misunderstood David because of what happened to his sister Tamar. He took the judgment on his hand because David failed to do so. There was a big misunderstanding between the son and the father. And when Absalom met David, the Bible says he bowed and kissed the hand. Next verse says, and it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. As I close the sermon today, remember this and Naaman. Naaman went to the door of Elisha with chariots, horsemen before him. In those days, chief captain means captain of 50, for instance. Here, Absalom, after the king kissed Absalom, that is where things went wrong. It is not son kissed the father, father kissed the son. Which means Absalom can tell all the people, I am the son of David. You can see he kissed me. I am the rightful heir to his kingdom. He started his work to claim the throne. But in the other case, it was Jacob who kissed the father Isaac, and Isaac blessed him. May the Lord bless us as we begin this new series on the kiss of God's counsel. May he come and kiss us with the kisses of his mouth. Amen. Let's all pray. And let's sing the short chorus. Mercy rewrote my life as I close the sermon today. And God bless you all. Shalom. Mercy rewrote my life. Amen.
Mercy.
We thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you, Lord, for the words of life. And Lord, we pray, may you bless us to receive the holy kiss from thee. And may you bless us that we live a life as a children of God. in your nearness, in your closeness, in the fellowship, to stand, to sing, to pray, to live a life, a living sacrifice that serve as a holy kiss to the brethren. Come, O Lord, come and kiss us with the kisses of your mouth, the mouth that spoke the words of life, and we are all created. We thank you, Lord, for all things. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you all. Shalom.